Morning, everyone. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Prevenient Act, Rounds to Begin the Day. Most Holy Trinity, I thank and praise you for this new day. And setting my will in yours, I affirm I want only to live and act in your will. Thus making my Prevenient Act, I set all my acts of the day in order in you. Good morning, Blessed Mother, I love you. Come help me offer my first act of the day as an act of love in the divine will to God. Good morning, my Jesus. I come to make my first act of the day an act of love in your divine will. I immerse myself all in your holy will and embrace its immensity to multiply my act to the infinite in your eternal act. First, I make my act diffuse in all the thoughts, in the glances, in the words, in the movements, in the steps, in the heartbeats, in each breath, and in every act of every human being, from Adam to the last creatures who live upon the earth. I offer this act to you, our Creator. Then, since all things in creation were made by God, for the love of the creature, I take this love in the sun, the stars, the earth, the sea, the birds, the flowers, and all the other things in creation, and making it mine, I offer it as so many other acts of homage, of love, of blessings, and of praise. And going up in paradise, I make my rounds for all the angels and for all the saints. I unite myself with all the heavenly court, and for each and every one, I give an act of love to you. Next, I take all that which dear Louisa has done, who has done good to everyone and has loved everyone and has operated in a universal manner for God and for everyone. I take it as though mine, as well as all that has been and will be done by those who live in the divine will, and work in the same universal manner, and offer it to you as a still more beautiful act of love. Now I draw near to the Blessed Virgin, my dear Mother, she being ready to make a gift to me of all her merits. With the confidence of a little child, I take all she has done, from the first instant of her Immaculate Conception to her last breath, and as if all were mine, I offer it to you, O God, as the most beautiful act. And then I go to the eternal Word made man and ask him to make me partake in all his acts, his conception, his birth, his escape into Egypt, his 30 years of hidden life, his years of public life, his passion, his death, his resurrection and ascension to heaven. I make it all mine and offer it to you, O Sacrosanct Trinity. And thus, as a poor, miserable creature, do I offer you an act most complete and most holy, since I offer nothing of my own, but rather return to you all the glory from that which you have done. Amen.
The command prayer, Abba, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the unity and power of the Holy Spirit, under the mantle of Mary, with all the angels and saints, through the intercession of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, please take my humble prayer and make it your command that all be accomplished and completed in your most holy divine will. We believe, we receive, so be it. Fiat. Amen.
Morning offering in the divine will. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother and Queen of the divine will, I entreat you, by the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and by the graces God has granted to you, since your Immaculate Conception, the grace of never going astray. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I am a poor and unworthy sinner, and I beg of you the grace to allow our Mother Mary and Louisa to form in me the divine acts you purchased for me and for everyone. These acts are the most precious of all, for they carry the eternal power of your fiat, and they await mine. Yes, your will be done. So I implore you, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, to accompany me as I now pray. I am nothing, and God is all. Come, divine will. Come, Heavenly Father, to beat in my heart and move in my will. Come, beloved Son, to flow in my blood and think in my intellect. Come, Holy Spirit, to breathe in my lungs and recall in my memory. I fuse myself in the divine will, and I place my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you, God, in the fiats of creation. With my I love you, my soul bilocates in the creations of the heavens and the earth. I love you in the stars, in the sun, in the moon, and in the skies. I love you in the earth, in the waters, and in every living creature my Father created out of love for me, so that I may return love for love. I now enter into Jesus' most holy humanity that embraces all acts. I place my I adore you, Jesus, in your every breath, heartbeat, thought, word, and step. I adore you in the sermons of your public life, in the miracles you performed, in the sacraments you instituted, and in the most intimate fibers of your heart. I bless you, God, in your every tear, blow, wound, thorn, and in each drop of blood that unleashed light for the life of every human. I bless you in all your prayers, reparations, offerings, and in each of the interior acts and sorrows you suffered up to your last breath on the cross. I enclose your life and all your acts, Jesus, within my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you. I now enter into the acts of my Mother Mary and of Louisa. I place my I thank you and Mary and Louisa's every thought, word, and action. I thank you in the embraced joys and sorrows, in the work of redemption and sanctification. Fused in your act, I make my I thank you and I bless you, God, flow in the relations of every creature to fill their acts with light and life, to fill the acts of Adam and Eve, of the patriarchs and prophets, of souls of the past, present, and future, of the holy souls in purgatory, of the holy angels and saints. I now make these acts my own, and I offer them to you, my tender and loving Father. May they increase the glory of your children, and may they glorify, satisfy, and honor you on their behalf. Let us now begin our day with our divine acts fused together. Thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for enabling me to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat.
Consecration to the divine will. O adorable and divine will, behold me before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all anew, divine will. Therefore, O adorable will, prostrate before your light. I, the least of all creatures, put myself into the little group of the sons and daughters of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I invoke your light and beg that it clothe me and eclipse all that does not pertain to you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and of my whole being. I do not want the human will to have life in this heart any longer. I will cast it away from me and thus form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love. With it, I shall be always happy. I shall have a singular strength and a holiness that sanctifies all things and conducts them to God. Here prostrate, I invoke the help of the Most Holy Trinity, that they permit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, and thus return in me the first order of creation, just as a creature was created. Heavenly Mother, Sovereign Queen of the Divine Fiat, take my hand and introduce me into the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my most tender mother, and you will teach me to live in and to maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the divine will. Heavenly Mother, I consecrate my whole being to your Immaculate Heart. You will teach me the doctrine of the divine will, and I will listen most attentively to your lessons. You will cover me with your mantle, so that the infernal serpent dare not penetrate into this sacred Eden to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my greatest good, Jesus, you will give me your flames, that they may burn me, consume me, and feed me, to form in me the life of the divine will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the guardian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep my heart jealously, and shall never give it to me again, that I may be sure of never leaving the will of God. My guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may flourish and be the instrument that draws all men into the kingdom of the divine will. Amen.
Prayer for Louise's beatification. O Most Holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ taught us that as we pray, we should ask that our Father's name be always glorified, and his will be done on earth, and his kingdom should come to reign among us. In our great desire to make known his kingdom of love, justice, and peace, we humbly ask that you glorify your servant Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will, who with her constant prayer and suffering deeply yearned for the salvation of souls and the coming of God's kingdom in the world. Following her example, we pray you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to help us joyously embrace the crosses of this world, so that we may also glorify your name, enter into the kingdom of your will. Amen.
Prayer before each lesson of the Divine Will, Seneca. May the will of the Father, made known by the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reign in me through Mary, in every act I do this day, and every act for the rest of my life. May I enter into the eternal divine order of God to place my absolute nothingness in the heart of the Most Holy Trinity, to give to my Father the joy of fulfilling the purpose of my existence by doing all the acts of my life through the Immaculate Heart of my Mother and in the divine will. And in this same manner, may I breathe, think, speak, pray, eat, live, act, work, walk, and sleep. May my soul be devoid of any longings, wants, or desires, except for those of my beloved divine will. And may you, Lord, do with me whatever you want, long, or desire. All I ask is that you bind me in your most holy will so intimately that I may never swerve from carrying out what I know to be your good pleasure, and that I remain so docile to the movements of your divine will, that you never perceive even a breath of resistance in my soul to your desires for me. Come, divine will, with all the angels and saints, especially my sweet mother, to touch my forehead and to imprint on it the Holy Spirit and infuse in me the light, so I can understand the truths and goods that are in these writings and prayers. Amen. Fiat. We'll now begin with book 19, March 19th, 1926. How the Most Holy Will of God eclipses everything, even creation and redemption. And being life of everything, it will produce greater fruits. I write only to obey and to fulfill the will of God alone. I was thinking to myself, my always lovable Jesus tells me many times that I must be the copy of my celestial mama, and therefore embrace everything and make up for all to be able to impetrate the longed-for fiat, just as the sovereign queen impetrated the longed-for redeemer. But how can I do this? She was holy, conceived without original sin. I, on the other hand, am one of the littlest and poorest creatures, conceived with original sin, like all the children of Adam, full of miseries and weaknesses. How then shall I be able to follow the flights of the Sovereign Lady in the divine volition in order to impetrate upon the earth the so longed for fiat? Would everyone check their mute button, please? Thank you. How then shall I be able to follow the flights of the Sovereign Lady in the divine volition in order to impetrate upon the earth the so longed for fiat, which my sweet Jesus wants to reign? Now, while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior and, clasping me tightly in his arms, told me, "My daughter, my mama was conceived without original sin, so that she might be able to impetrate the longed for Redeemer. Because it was right and decorous that not even the seed of guilt would ever have existence in the one who was to be my mother. She was to be the noblest, the holiest of all creatures, but of a divine nobility and of a holiness all similar to her Creator, that he might find in her so much grace and capacity to be able to conceive the Holy of Holies, the Eternal Word. Many times creatures also do this when, having to keep precious things and of great value, they prepare most clear vases and of a value equivalent to the precious things which are to be kept in them. On the other hand, if those are ordinary things and of little value, they prepare vases of clay and of very little value, nor do they have the care of keeping them under lock and key, as they do with the most clear vase. Rather, they keep them exposed. So from the preciousness of the vase, and from the way it is kept, one can know whether the things contained in it are precious and of great value. Now, since I was to receive her blood in order to be conceived in her womb, it was right that both her soul and her body be most clear, and that she be enriched with all possible imaginable graces, privileges, and prerogatives that God can give and the creature can receive. Now, my daughter, if all this happened in my dear mama, because she was to make the longed-for Redeemer descend upon earth, to you also, since I have chosen you for the longed-for fiat, longed-for by heaven and by earth, longed-for with great love and yearning by the very divinity, even more, longed-for more by God than by men, I was to give you so much grace as not to place the knowledges pertaining to my will in a corrupted soul and body, and not only the knowledges, but the very life of my will, which it was to form and carry out within you. Therefore, making use of its power, even though it did not exempt you
from original sin. With its power, it repressed the inclination to sin and stood firm over it, that it might not produce its corrupted effects. So, in you, my will keeps original sin crushed and without life. This was right and necessary for the nobility, the decorum, and the sanctity of the supreme will. If any effects, which are not good, were present in you, my will would find shadows, fogs, and would not be able to spread its rays of truth like the sun in its full midday. And even less could it form in you the center of the carrying out of its divine life, because my will is so clear and holy that it cannot be nor adapt itself to living together with the slightest spot. On hearing this, trembling, I said, Jesus, what are you saying? Is all this possible? Yet I feel so miserable and little as to feel the need of you, of your assistance, and of your presence to be able to continue to live. And you know to what a pitiful state I reduce myself when you deprive me of yourself. And Jesus, interrupting my speaking, added, My daughter, do not be surprised. It is the sanctity of my will that requires it. What this is about is the greatest thing that exists in heaven and on earth. If in redemption I came to save man, now it is about rescuing my will in the creatures, and therefore making known the purpose of creation and of redemption, the goods which my will wants to give, the life it wants to form within the creature, and the rights which befit it. Therefore, placing a divine will in safety in the midst of creatures is the greatest thing, and my will, known and reigning, will surpass the fruits of creation and of redemption. It will be the crowning of my works and the triumph of our works. And if my will is not known, loved, and fulfilled, neither creation nor redemption will obtain their full purpose and their complete fruit. Creation and redemption came out from within my omnipotent fiat, and so that our glory may be complete and the creature may receive all the effects and the goods which they contain, everything must return into our will. Now who can say how my poor mind swam in the immensity of the eternal will and what I comprehended? But the point that impressed me the most was that the fiat was to surpass even the good of redemption with the addition of a terrible reluctance to manifest what is written above for fear that obedience would impose on me to write. Oh, how I would have wanted to keep silent. But with the fiat, one cannot argue, because in one way or another, the victory must always be its own. Then my sweet Jesus, always benign, coming back, told me, My daughter, it is necessary that you manifest this, not for yourself, but for the decorum and the sanctity which befit my will. Do you think that all the crafting I have done in your soul for 40 years and more has been only for yourself and for the love I had and do have for you? Ah, no. It has been, above all, for the decorum of that which befitted my will, so that in coming to reign in you, it would find my crafting, my incessant prayers, inviting it to come. The throne of my works and of my pains on which it might dominate and form its dwelling, the light of its very knowledge, so that it might find in you its honors and its very divine glory. Therefore, my many manifestations about the Supreme Will were necessary for the decency that befitted it. Now you must know that my will is greater and more endless than redemption itself, and what is greater always brings greater fruits and goods. My will is eternal in time and eternity. It had no beginning, nor will it ever end. On the other hand, though being eternal in the divine mind, redemption had its beginning in time and was a product of the eternal will. So it was not redemption that gave life to the divine will, but it was my will that gave life to redemption. And whatever has the power to give life by nature and by necessity must become more fruitful than the one who has received life. But this is not all. In creation, the divinity issued from itself the shadows of its light, the shadows of its wisdom, of its power. It touched the whole creation lightly with its whole being. So the beauty, the harmony, the order, the love, the goodness of God, which can be seen in the whole creation, are divine similes, shadows of the Supreme Majesty. On the other hand, my will, not a simile or a shadow of ours, came out into the field of creation as the life of all created things. And so it is life, foundation, support, vivification, and preservation of everything that came out of our creative hands. Therefore, everything is owed to the Supreme Will. My redemption itself bent its knees before it to implore that it would constitute itself life of each act, heartbeat, and suffering of mine, and even of my breathing, so as to let vital aids flow within the creatures in order to save them. My redemption can be called the tree, whose root is the divine will. And since it has produced the trunk, the branches, the leaves, the flowers of all the goods which are present in the church, it must therefore produce the fruit of life, which the root of this tree contains. Moreover, the creation came out from ourselves with the only purpose that our will be known and loved more than life itself, and therefore our will constituted itself life of everything so as to be fulfilled. All the other things created by us, and even redemption itself, were given as aids in order to facilitate our purpose. So if we do not obtain our primary purpose, how can we obtain our complete glory? And how can the creature receive the good established by us? Furthermore, creation, redemption, and the fiat voluntas tua, on earth as it is in heaven, symbolize the sacrosanct Trinity. In fact, just as the divine persons are inseparable from one another, so these works are inseparable from one another. Each one gives the hand to the other. Each one helps the other. The triumph, the glory, belongs to all three of them. And since our will has held the primary place in all our works, creation and redemption remain eclipsed and as though dissolved within the immensity and the endlessness of the Supreme Will. Our will envelops everything and keeps the very things done by us
as its throne, from which it reigns and dominates. So, if our will is everything, why are you surprised that it will produce greater fruits than our other works? And man will receive that life which he has but does not know, because he keeps it as though compressed, drowned, weakened, while it moans and sighs, because it wants to carry out its life, but it is not allowed to do so. Therefore, be attentive, because the knowledge of my will shake man and will be like cement on the woodworm, which original sin produced in the tree of the human generations, so that once the root has been strengthened, the creature may allow that life which she had rejected with so much ingratitude to live within herself.
This is, there's an awful lot in this, and I'm glad that Cindy read it so nice and slow so we could grasp it. But it looked like what we just read was that Louisa had second thoughts about what Jesus was saying. And maybe some of us did too. You know, when we put the creation and redemption on the back seat of something else, it doesn't come good with us, because we were raised to say how good creation and redemption was, you know. So, but just go over a few highlights from the reading. In the next last page, he says, my will wants to give the life it wants to form within each creature and the rights which befit it. Therefore, placing a divine will in safety in the midst of creatures is the greatest thing, and my will known and reigning will surpass the fruits of creation and redemption. This is the part that Louisa had trouble with, and maybe some of us did, I don't know. And if my will is not known, loved, and fulfilled, neither creation nor redemption will obtain their full purpose and their complete fruit. Creation and redemption came out from within my omnipotent fiat, so that our glory may be complete and the creature may receive all the effects and the goods which they contain. Everything must return into our will. We'll just go to the next page, because this is where Jesus straightens all of us out. We had doubts about that. And we'll go down to the third, two-thirds of the way down, where he says, moreover, the creation came out from ourselves with the only purpose that our will be known and loved more than life itself. And therefore, our will constituted itself life of everything so as to be fulfilled. All the other things created by us, and even redemption itself, were given as aids in order to facilitate our purpose, so that if we do not obtain our primary purpose, how can we obtain our complete glory? And how can the creature receive the good established by us? And then further on down in the next paragraph, he defends his position again. He says, since our will has held the primary place in all our works, creation and redemption remain eclipsed. I'll repeat that one. Since our will has held the primary place in all our works, creation and redemption remain eclipsed, as though dissolved within the immensity and the endlessness of the supreme will. So that one statement takes care of everything. Our will envelops everything and keeps the very things done by us as its throne, from which it reigns and dominates. So he just told us about his will eclipse the other creation and redemption, and that it dominates. That's how he finishes it. He finishes up very nicely for us. Just not have any qualms about what he's trying to tell us about how valuable it is, his teachings are. And he sums it up so easily and so quickly on two statements that Luis and us would not have any qualms about what he says. Amen.
Thank you. March 28, 1926. How, by living in the divine will, all goods are centralized within the soul. The primary purpose of redemption was the divine fiat. Having received Holy Communion, I was calling everyone, my Queen Mama, the saints, the first man, Adam, with the retinue of all generations, up to the last man who will come upon earth, and then all created things, so that all together, prostrate within me, with me around Jesus, we might adore him, bless him, love him, so that nothing might be missing around Jesus, all of all the works which came out of his hands. Not a heart that palpitates, nor a sun that shines, nor the vastness of the blue heaven studded with stars, nor the sea that murmurs, and not even the tiny little flower that gives off its fragrance. I wanted to centralize everything and everyone around Jesus, host, so that we might render him the honors due to him. His will made everything present to me as if everything were mine, and I wanted to give everything to Jesus. Now, while I was doing this, it seemed to me that Jesus was happy in looking at all generations and all of his things around himself, and clasping me to himself, he told me, my daughter, how content I am in seeing all of my works around me. I feel I am given back the joy and the happiness which I gave them in creating them, and I repay them with new happiness. This is the great good which my will contains and brings, and in one who lives in it, it centralizes the goods of all, because there is no good which my will does not bring, and it binds the soul to everyone and to everything that belongs to it. So if the creature had not withdrawn from my will, I would have found everyone within each one, and each one in everyone, the goods, the light, the strength, the science, the love, the beauty, were to be common to all. There was to be neither yours nor mine, both in the natural and in the spiritual order. Each one could have taken as much as he wanted. The human life in my will was to be symbolized by the sun. Everyone can take its light, as much as they want of it, without anyone lacking it. However, as man withdrew from my will, the goods, the light, the strength, the love, the beauty, remain divided and as though halved among creatures. Therefore, there was no more order, nor harmony, nor true love, either toward God or among themselves. Oh, if the sun could be divided into many rays, these solar rays, detaching from the center of light, would end up becoming darkness. And what would happen to the earth? Ah, indeed, no one could ever again have the light of his own and all for himself. So it was with my will. By withdrawing from it, man lost the fullness of goods, the fullness of light, of strength, of beauty, etc. And therefore he was forced to live a life of hardships. Therefore, be attentive. Let your living in my will be continuous, that you may contain everything and I may find everything in you. Then I was thinking to myself, if the true living and the supreme will contains so much good, why did my celestial mama, who was all will of God, not impetrate the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven, together with the longed-for Redeemer, so as to let man return into that supreme fiat from which he came, to give back to him all the goods and the purpose for which he had been created. More so, since being all will of God, she had no nourishment extraneous to God, therefore she possessed the very divine nature, and with it she could impetrate everything. And my sweet Jesus, moving again in my interior, sighing, added, my daughter, the primary purpose of all that my mama did and of all that I did in redemption was that my fiat would reign upon earth. It would not have been decorous, nor a true love, nor a great magnanimity, and even less an operating worthy of the God that I was, if in coming into the world I had given and wanted to give creatures the smaller thing, which was the means to be saved, but not the greater one, which was my will, which contains not only the remedies, but all possible goods that exist in heaven and on earth, and not only salvation and sanctity, but that sanctity which raises them to the very sanctity of their Creator. Oh, if you could penetrate into each prayer, act, word, and pain of my inseparable Mama, you would find in them the fiat which she longed for and impetrated. If you could penetrate into each drop of my blood, into each one of my heartbeats, breaths, steps, works, sorrows, and tears, you would find the fiat having primacy in them, which I longed and asked for creatures. But while the primary purpose was the fiat, my goodness had to descend to the secondary purpose and act almost like a teacher, who, though possessing the highest sciences and being able to give noble and sublime lessons worthy of himself, since his students are all illiterate, has to lower himself to giving lessons in A, B, C, to then be able to reach little by little his primary purpose of imparting the lessons and the science he possesses, to make of them as many teachers worthy of such a teacher. If this teacher did not want to lower himself to giving lessons in inferior studies and wanted to give lessons in his high science, the students, being illiterate, would not understand him, and confused by such great science, which they ignored, would leave him. And the poor teacher, by not wanting to lower himself, would give neither the small good nor the great good of his science. Now, my daughter, when I came upon earth, creatures were all illiterate in the things of heaven. And if I had wanted to speak about the fiat and of the true living in it, they would have been incapable of comprehending, since they did not know the way to come to me, the majority of them being crippled, blind, sick. I had to lower myself with the guise of my humanity, which covered that fiat, which I wanted to give, becoming their brother, associating with everyone, to be able to teach the first rudiments, the ABC of the supreme fiat. And everything I taught, did, and suffered was nothing but preparing the way, the kingdom, and the dominion of my will. This is the usual way of our works, to do minor things as a preparatory act for greater things. Did I not do the same with you? At the beginning, I certainly did not speak to you about the supreme fiat or about the height, the sanctity, which I wanted you to reach in my will, nor did I ever mention the greater mission to which I was calling you. Rather, I kept you like a little child to whom I delighted in teaching obedience, love of suffering, detachment from everyone, death to your own self. And as you corresponded, I rejoiced because I could see prepared in you the place in which to put my fiat in the sublime lessons that pertain to my will. The same happened in redemption. Everything was done for the purpose of that fiat, the purpose that the fiat might reign again in the creature, just as when we issued him from our creative hands. We have no hurry in our works, because we have not only the centuries, but all eternity at our disposal. Therefore, we proceed at a slow pace, but for our own triumph, first we prepare, and then we act. Nor do I have less power after returning to heaven than I would have if I continued to be on earth. My power is always the same, whether I am in heaven or on earth. Did I not call and choose my mama while being in my celestial fatherland? In the same way, I have called and chosen you for the longed-for fiat with the same power which no one can resist. Even more, I tell you that in order to obtain this, you have at your disposal greater and more important things than my beloved mama did. Therefore, you are more fortunate because she did not have a mama, nor her works as help in order to obtain the longed-for Redeemer, but she had only the cortege of the acts of the prophets, the patriarchs, and the good of the Old Testament, and of the great foreseen goods of the future Redeemer. You, on the other hand, have a mama and all of her works as help. You have the helps, the pains, the prayers, and the varied life not foreseen, but carried out of your Redeemer. There are no goods, nor prayers that have been done and are being done in the church which are not with you to help you to obtain the longed for fiat. Since the primary purpose of all that was done by me, by the Queen of Heaven, and by all the good, was the fulfillment of my will. Everything is with you to impetrate the realization of their purpose. Therefore, be attentive. I will always be with you, and so will my mama. You will not be alone in longing for the triumph of our will.
We have second page, a reading that I'd like to repeat again. He says, in the middle of the page, my daughter, the primary purpose of all that my mama did and all that I did in redemption was that my fiat would reign upon earth. It would not have been decorous, nor true love, nor greater magnanimity, and even less an operating worthy of God, that I was in, if in coming into the world, I had given and wanted to give to creatures the smaller thing, which was the means to be saved, but not the greater one, which was my will, which contains not only the remedies, but all possible goods that exist in heaven and on earth, and not only salvation and sanctity, but that sanctity was raised them to the very sanctity of their Creator. I'll read that part again. That exists in heaven and earth, and not only salvation and sanctity, but the sanctity which raises them to the very sanctity of their Creator. It doesn't get any better than that. Can you imagine the sanctity of your Creator? And so that's when we get, excuse me, that's when we get sometimes down, that we can't stay in the divine will or whatever, or when we are at it and we're offering our pain and suffering, which Jesus will send us to give us an opportunity to show him how much we love him and how much we want to be in the divine will, because we're sure not going to get that this so easy to the very sanctity of their creator. So when it comes along, our sufferings and our sacrifices that we have to do if we want to be in the divine will, just keep in mind that nobody in the history of the church had ever had this gift, but that the sanctity which raises them to the very sanctity of their creator. And so when we do have our sufferings and sacrifices, whatever it takes to stay in the divine will, or when we have to love someone that we don't want to love, whatever it is that Jesus is constantly teaching us about to be in the divine will, we want to make sure that we use those teachings of Jesus so that we can stay in the divine will as long as possible. Let's see, there's so much in this reading. I just want to, when we're finishing up, I want to repeat that part. He says, that last paragraph, which is usually always good, as it sums it up, you know. So he says, since the primary purpose of all that was done by me, by the Queen of Heaven, and by all the good was realized of my will, everything is with you to impetrate the realization of the purpose. Therefore, be attentive. I will always be with you, and so will my mama. You will not be alone in longing for the triumph of our will. And what he speaks to Louisa, we always try to remember that he's also speaking to us to put this into effect. Amen.
March 31st, 1926. One who does the divine will must possess everything that belongs to it. The soul who lives in the divine will must do the will of God as God does it. My poor mind was dissolving in the divine will, and my endless light invaded the little circle of my intelligence. And while it seemed that this light was as though centralized in my mind, it would spread outside and fill the whole atmosphere, and penetrating even into the heavens, it seemed as though centralized in the divinity. But who can say what one could feel and comprehend while being in that light? One could feel the fullness of happiness. Nothing could penetrate into that light which might shade the joy, the beauty, the strength, the penetration of the divine secrets, and the knowledge of the supreme mysteries. Then while I was swimming in that light, my always lovable Jesus told me, "My daughter, this light, this dwelling so enchanting, which knows neither sunset nor night, is my will. Everything is complete in it. Happiness, strength, beauty, knowledge of the Supreme Being, etc. This light so endless, which is our will, came out from the womb of the divinity as the inheritance of man, the most beautiful inheritance we could give him. It came out of our inmost womb, bringing with itself a share of all our good, to let the creature inherit them, and to form him as all beautiful and holy, in the likeness of the one who had created him. So then, my daughter, what it means to do my will and to live in it. There is no good that exists in heaven and on earth which it does not possess. I want you to know them. Otherwise, how can you love them, possess them, and use them in the different circumstances if you do not know them? If you do not know that you have a divine strength at your disposal, you will lose heart for the trifle. If you do not know that you possess a divine beauty, you will not have the courage to be with me in a familiar way. You will feel dissimilar from me. You will not have the audacity to snatch from me that the fiat may come to reign upon earth. If you do not know that everything I have created is yours, you will not love me in all things. You will not have the fullness of true love, and so with all the other things. If you do not know all the goods which my will possesses, that there is nothing which does not belong to it and which you must possess, it would happen to you as to a poor one who was given a million, but without letting him know that such an amount had been placed in his little hovel. Poor one, because he does not know the good he possesses, he continues his poor life, his stomach half empty, his clothes tattered, and he drinks and sips the bitternesses of his poverty. But if he knows it, he changes his fortune. He turns the hovel into a palace. He feeds himself abundantly, clothes himself with decency, and drinks the sweet sips of his richness. So, as many goods as one might possess, if he does not know them, it is as if he did not have them. This is